Come on, give the Lord a mighty hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Listen, if the Lord has ever healed you, if he's ever saved you, if he's ever delivered you, or he's ever helped you, and you're thankful about it, why don't you take about the next 30 seconds and just show the Lord your gratitude? Why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you praise the Lord? Why don't you give the Lord a shout? Why don't somebody leap for joy? Why don't somebody give him praise? Come on, if he's worthy, praise him. If he's worthy, praise him. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the name of the Lord. I feel like I'm in church tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad to be here? Turn around to two or three people, shake their hands, greet them, tell them how glad you are to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. We're glad for all of our guests who are here tonight, and we're glad to have David and Nancy Lee with us. And David, is it Ray? Ray is here, and they are from the church in Mount Tabor Christian Church, where the Worthens pastor, and they are their guests tonight, but we are so thankful that they are here with us. Amen. And we pray the Lord blesses you tonight. Amen, amen. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Go with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17. Can I take just a minute to do something personal here? Because I've had a few of you ask about, you know, Tuesday night, this past Tuesday night was a very special night for my wife and myself and my family. The United Pentecostal Church has three levels of ministerial licensure. There's the local, which is the first entry. That's mainly for people that are working under a pastor. Then there's the general license, and that's mainly for people who are going to be a pastor. And then after you've, you know, been in for a little while, a few years or whatever, they feel like that you've proven your ministry, you've proven yourself. You can go to an ordination. I looked at the license in my office before church, and I got my license in December of 94. I came in with a general license. I bypassed the local and went right to the general because I was going to become the pastor of the church here. And I've just had that level for all these years, and I've been stirred the last few years to go ahead and go for my next level. And so this past Tuesday night, me along with I think it was 11 or 12 other people in our ordination service at Family Camp were ordained. And I want to thank all of you. Several of you made the trip all the way up to Fortville, Indiana on a Tuesday night when you had to be, some of you, at work the next day and all of that. I want to thank you for being there, and the rest of you that couldn't be there, I sure understand that, and I know that you, some of you watched it online, or you've expressed your congratulations, but some of you asked me about the sword, so I brought my sword. This is just so awesome, I think. They give you, when you get ordained, they give you a gift, and this is to recognize, this is not an act of terror, everybody relax. This is to represent the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And when you get ordained, they give you this really cool, I'll let you hold my microphone, but not the sword, okay? This is my sword. So this sword is pretty awesome. And it says on there, Ronald Hawkins, ordination, July 18th, 2017. There you go, Brother Dewar. You can hold it after church, all right? I will keep it in its sheath, and I will keep it on. No, I won't keep it on me. I'm going to mount that in my office, and it's just, it really doesn't have that sharp of an edge on it. But I'll sharpen it. No, I won't really sharpen it. Luke, the 17th chapter, and let's go to verse number 11. Is it all right if we just let the Lord speak to us a little bit tonight? And I'd like you to be ready just to receive whatever the Lord would have for us, and to, I don't know, if you're here tonight, you need a healing in your body, or you need a touch of any kind. I feel like the Lord spoke to me and said that he would love to move among us tonight. He wants to do miracles here tonight. So if you would just let the Lord do that, he wants to do that. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, I've heard this preached before, and the title was used of Jesus' question. When he asked the question, "Where are the 9? And that's a good title for this message. But I want to preach rather than the question of Jesus. I want to preach a statement tonight. And I hope you'll get behind me and you'll just claim this as your statement. Jesus said, "Where are the 9? But I'm just going to declare, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one. If nobody else shows up, I'm going to be, somebody say, I'm going to be the one. Amen. Lord, speak to us tonight through your word, we pray. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand clap of praise one more time. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you may be seated in the name of the Lord. In the Hebrew, this word leprosy, it really means a smiting. It means a stroke. Because the disease was regarded as a direct providential infliction. In other words, they regarded it as a curse or something inflicted from the Lord. And this name is from the Greek lepra, by which the Greek physicians designated the disease from its scaliness. Lepers were required by the law of Moses to live outside the camp or outside the city. You'll find the directions in the book of Numbers, chapter 5, and then again in chapter 12. This disease was regarded as an awful punishment from the Lord. And you'll find that in 2 Kings 5, 2 Chronicles 26. This disease begins with specks on the eyelids and on the palms, and then gradually would spread over the body and bleaching the hair white wherever the sores would appear, and crusting the affected parts with white scales and causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease eats inward to the bones. It would rot the whole body piecemeal. In Christ's day, no leper could live, they could not live in a walled city or a walled town, though he might live in an open village. That's why we hear tell of leper colonies. But wherever he was required to have his outer garment rent or torn as a sign of deep grief. To go bareheaded, he was to go, and to cover his beard with his mantle as if in lamentation at his own virtual death. He had further to warn passerbys to keep away from him, and he would do this by calling out and announcing, "Unclean! Unclean." Wherever he went, you would hear the leper calling out, "Unclean." Nor could he speak to anyone or receive or return a salutation, since in the East this would involve an embrace. He was, as a matter of fact, he would be considered an outcast. Part of the disease would cause you to become numb. Your skin, your senses, your nerves could become numb. You've perhaps heard of people who would lose fingers or toes, or maybe their hands would would become withered. They didn't usually lose their fingers or toes because the leprosy caused it to fall off. It was simply a result of the numbness that would occur. And when you're numb and you can't feel pain, you can injure yourself and not even know you're injured. And you'll become infected, and that finger or that hand would become infected before they realized it was even injured. And the infection would eventually take their hand. And so you would see lepers who were afflicted by this terrible disease walking down the road. Normally, they didn't even have to cry out unclean. Had they been sick for very long, it would deform their feet. It would deform their hands. It might disfigure their faces. And you could see by looking at them that they were lepers, but they had to cry out unclean. And so you could see a leper walking down with his hand withered and his feet crippled and his fingers, some of them missing, his face scarred and disfigured, white scaly sores and white hair. And there he would be living his outcast life in his leper colony. And such was the case when Jesus appeared upon the earth. Nobody would touch them. Nobody would interact with them. They were unclean. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with us today in 2017? We know more about the disease, and it's a not very common disease, and I'll grant you that, but doesn't it sound awful familiar to our spiritual condition that we were afflicted by this terrible thing called sin that would get on us, but it didn't just remain on us, but it would eat inward, and it would go, and it would eat away at our, not only our outside, but it would begin to eat away at our insides, and our heart was afflicted, and our minds were afflicted, and our spirits were afflicted, and our souls became lost. And there we were, crippled and just barely getting along, unclean and undone. And just like the leper, there was no hope. There was no cure. We could not handle this sin thing on our own. Aren't you glad that one day Jesus Christ showed up? Aren't you glad that just like the leper, who Jesus said, I will, that he looked into your sinful life, your sinful condition, and said, I will. I'll handle your sin problem. I'll touch you where you are. I'll receive you unto myself. I will provide the means for your salvation. Amen. Hey, somebody in the corner, shout amen. Hallelujah. Help me preach this tonight if you believe what I'm preaching to you. What a terrible condition. According to the Mosaic law, if an unclean, afflicted leper believed that he was cleansed of his leprosy, because sometimes it might go into remission and he might become cleansed of the leprosy, if that was the case and he suspected it was the case, then he did not just re-enter into society, but by the Mosaic law, he was to appear before the priest. Just like when he first saw that first speck on his skin, he was to go to the priest and say, I think I might have leprosy. You need to examine me. And it was the priest's role, the priest's job, to look at that skin, and then he would separate him, not unto the leper colony yet, but he would separate him from the general population. And it was a gradual thing. He would re-examine him in a few days and re-examine him again maybe in a few weeks. And he would see if it was, in fact, leprosy. And once he was pronounced a leper, there he went. He was outside the camp, not to re-enter. Just like that, when he thought he was cleansed, if he suspected he was cleansed of leprosy, and by the way, the Bible calls it cleansed almost exclusively because it was considered such a curse and such a filthy disease that it was called cleansed and not healed. But if he thought he was cleansed, he didn't just run back home and re-enter society, but he would go back to the priest and say to the same priest that pronounced him a leper, I think I might be cleansed. And the priest would examine him, separate him again. He would be separated from the general population, but also separated from the lepers. And again, after a few days, re-examined. Again, after a few weeks, re-examined. It was quite a process to be re-entered into this general population. And here come these 10 lepers. Think about it with me. 10 lepers. They had no one else. They could fellowship with one another, but they were all unclean. They were friends perhaps with one another, but they were all unclean. By law, they could not go to Jesus. They were unclean. And so from afar, they call upon the Lord. And unlike the physicians and unlike the Pharisees and unlike the Sadducees and unlike the scribes, who would say, you stay on your side of the street, buddy. Jesus received lepers. Are you hearing me? Just like he received sinners. And just like he received publicans, and just like he received everybody else that nobody else wanted to touch, Jesus would receive them. In fact, he was criticized by the Pharisees. Why? Because he not only received them, he would sit down and eat with them and talk with them and share with them and fellowship with them. And aren't you glad you serve a Savior that didn't say, when you're good enough, you can come. But he said, come as you are. Oh, come on, somebody. If you had to wait until you were perfect, you would never have been saved. But thank God for a Savior who says, I know you're a mess, but come anyway. I know you're filthy, but come anyway. I know you're a leper, but Jesus says, I'll receive you anyhow. And here they come, the group of them, the 10 of them. They come to Jesus and ask for him to cleanse them. I love this story because it tells my story. And it tells your story. We were all a mess. You don't need to sit in here and pretend, because I know all of you. You know, nobody in this place perfect. And nobody came to Jesus and said, you know, Lord, I finally got it all together enough that you might accept me. None of you. No, no, no. You came to the Lord a mess. You came to the Lord with your problems and your issues, and your skin was scaly, and your hair was white, and you had open sinful sores upon your soul. And yet Jesus said, you know what? I died for that. I shed my blood for that. And you can come to an altar of repentance, and you can repent of your sins, not because you're good enough, not because you're worthy, but because of his blood, because of his mercy, because of his grace, he will accept you as you are. Well, hallelujah! Tells all of our story. We were all a mess. We were all lepers. We were all in a hopeless situation, a deplorable condition when we came to Jesus. Have I got a witness here tonight? Is anybody not too proud to say, you know, I was a mess when I came to the Lord? I won't even pretend. I had issues. I had problems. I had things. God had to forgive me of some things. He had to go out of his way to touch me. So after this series of examination, days and weeks later, he would be maybe deemed clean and allowed back into general society. So here come these 10 lepers to Jesus. And they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We don't deserve it, but if you could see it in your heart, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, wait just a minute here. I just told you, and I know what I'm talking about. I've read it more than once, that if you were a leper, the only reason you would go to the priest is if you believed you were cleansed. Look at this carefully. Jesus did not say to them, you're cleansed. Jesus did not say to them, be healed. Jesus did not touch them and their skin was made new like Naaman on that seventh time out of the water. No, no, no. Jesus didn't look at them and say, your hands are fixed, your feet are fixed, your face is back to normal. None of that happened. He just said, go show yourself unto the priest. In other words, by faith, go through the motions as though you think you're already cleansed. Can I tell you that this wonderful salvation thing has really nothing to do with the way you feel or what you think? This all came down to nothing more than faithful obedience. Faithful, somebody say faithful obedience. I will tell you, if you cannot wrap your mind around the concept of faithful obedience, you will not, cannot be saved. You say, Brother Hawkins, that's an awful bold statement. Well, I'm in the Bible. I didn't exclude anybody, but Jesus did when Jesus said, except you be born again. Except you be born of the water and of the Spirit. Water, baptism in Jesus' name. The Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth experience, is it not? And so Jesus said, except you be born again. So Peter tells us what born again means. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of what?
Jesus.
I should say the name of who?
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. So he says, that's water birth. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's spirit birth. Did you know when you got in the water to get baptized? That was nothing more than faithful obedience. That wasn't you saying, you know, I just want to show my membership in the church, or I just want to show that I'm sincere, or I just want to make a pub. That sword up there is nothing more. That's not anything to do with salvation. It's nothing to do with heaven. When the rapture takes place, that old sword's going to stay right there in my office, and rust or some thieves are going to get it or whatever, or somebody that didn't make it in the rapture that really likes swords can have it. I don't care. But that's all that is a symbol. Your baptism was not just a symbol. Your baptism was faithful obedience to the word of God. It is in that water of baptism in the name of Jesus where the name was applied, and where the name was applied, the blood was applied. It was so when you walked up those steps and you got in that water, you put on that robe and you felt a little goofy and the devil's telling you, you look like a fool. Now, how many of you put on the baptismal robe and looked in the mirror and said, but I really look cool? Not at all. Nothing fashionable about a baptismal robe. And you come up out of the water, and some of you ladies had to overcome pride to get baptized, because when you went down, your hair looked nice, but you came up and it looked a mess, and you had to get over that, didn't you? So it's not, there's nothing fancy about it. It's just nothing more than faithful obedience. That you would put on an old robe and walk up those steps and get in the water and let somebody put you under the water in Jesus' name. It's just faithful obedience. It's not a symbol. It's not a declaration. It is obedience to the word of God. And it's while you were under the water. Have you ever thought about it? While you were in the water, Brother Jerry, the name of Jesus was applied to your life, and the blood of Jesus was applied to your life, and your sins that went under with you, they did not come up with you. They were buried in the name of Jesus in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. And that's what happens in that water. That's what happens in this water. Now I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. This water up here, it came out of a faucet. It didn't even come out of a fancy stream somewhere. There's no holy water up here. There's nothing spiritual about the water. I just got my fingers in it. And if you thought this was holy water, you'd think I was sacrilegious. But I'm just going to tell you right now, when it comes time to clean this tank, there's nothing ceremonial. Am I right, Brother Sebastian? Am I right, Brother Sister Ballard? Nothing ceremonial about cleaning out a baptistry. It's messy work. I'm just telling you, that's not what it's about. But there's something very powerful that happens in this water. And it's not the water, and it's not the tank, and it's not the steps, and it's not the robe. It's I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you're buried with Jesus, and your sins are buried, and the blood is applied, and your life is never the same, and you go down a sinner, but you come up washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins never to be remembered against you again, and I'm telling you, that's worth shouting over, that's worth praising God over, that's worth getting excited about, that all we've got to do is faithfully obey the word of God, and our sins are cleansed. Glory to God. Now listen, I've been doing this a while. I've baptized more than a few. And I've seen it. It's awesome, isn't it? You see people, you know, the Lord's dealing with them. And their hearts are being stirred. And they're under conviction, we call it. And they finally say, you know, and it's a big step. You got baptized years ago, you forgot what a big thing that was. But I remember 8 years old was when I got baptized. I remember how big of a deal that was. to say to my mom and my dad, I want to be baptized. I remember what it was, that adrenaline rush. To walk in, get in that. Back then, we didn't have nice, warm, chlorine-treated water. Come on, somebody. Can I get a witness from you old people? I mean, so you people that were baptized a few years ago. Amen. Anybody, was anybody baptized in a creek or a stream? Some of y'all? Anybody have, they have to break ice to baptize you? Oh, all the hands went down there. No, we waited until spring. But I got in a cold tank. But I remember it all very well. I remember Brother Nelson's hand going on, you know, coming up, taking me under. But there was something that happened, see. And I've been doing this long enough. I see the nerves. I'm right up there close to y'all when you get better. I know the nerves, and I can feel the shaking. And sometimes that water, it hasn't had time to heat up, and you're shivering. But I'm telling you, it is something to see an old man or an old woman. I don't mean age-wise, but the old person go down and the new person come up. In my hands, I feel it happen. In my spirit, I can feel that transformation. You go down one way, but you come up another way. It is a powerful thing that happens when you're baptized in Jesus' name. How many know it's more than a show? It's more than just a statement, but it's the blood of Jesus applied. Now, I know it's a spiritual thing, but listen. It wasn't the Spirit of God that made your feet move and walk up. God didn't grab you, pick you up, and drop you in the tank. You had to decide. You heard the Word of God preached. You felt the Spirit of God move, and you decided. Everybody say, I decided. You decided. And if you didn't decide, you need to get baptized again. If your mommy made you or your daddy made you or you did it and you didn't know what you were doing, you need to get baptized knowing that it's a decision you made. Come on now, because I think it was Peter that said it's an answer to a good conscience. In other words, the Lord's dealing with your heart. Amen. How we doing? So the Lord told them, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, folks, they still have leprosy on their bodies. They're looking at each other thinking, he's still a leper, he's still a leper. I think I'm still a leper. But all 10 of them, 20 sets of feet, if they all had their feet still. But 10 people start walking, hobbling some of them helping each other on their way to Jesus. Now watch this. And it came to pass. Now I'm going to tell you, brother, have you ever thought of this? If they were not faithfully obedient to Jesus, we don't have that next phrase. If they look at each other and say, what is he talking about? I thought he would touch us. I heard he did this for somebody else. I heard he did this for somebody. I heard somebody else touched his garment. You know, all this stuff. They could have talked themselves out of it and said, well, we're still lepers. We're not going to go to the priest. You can talk yourself out of the best thing that ever happened to you if you're not careful. And they could have looked at each other. Well, you still have leprosy. Do I still have leprosy? Yeah, you still got leprosy. Well, why don't we wait? We'll check it in the morning. If they do that, we don't have this next phrase. He says, go. And the next thing we see is as they went. As they went. Still a leper, but I'm going to go. Still a mess, but I'm going to obey Jesus. I still need something from God, but I'm going to do what I know to do. Some of you need to get over this whole thing of, well, when I get this in place and that in place, and if I can ever get over this, and I can get over my drug addiction, if I can get off the alcohol, if I can stop cussing and swearing, if I can get over this habit, and if I could get this out of my heart, you need to understand that if you would just obey the Lord, if you know that you need to be baptized, you know what you should do tonight if you've never been baptized? Because some of y'all jumping back here to Romans and 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, saying, well, I'm not doing all that stuff yet. Well, there's a reason why they put Acts. And there's a reason why the day of Pentecost happened before we got the epistles. Come on now. because the book of Acts experience is going to happen in your life before all the epistles experience. In other words, you're going to get baptized before you ever even know how to pray or how to live right before God or how to walk circumspectly before Him. You're going to just go ahead and say, well, I don't know about, I'm not sure how to pray. I don't know if I know how to pray for somebody to be healed. I don't know if I understand all of that, but I do know this. I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And as you go, as you obey. Have you ever heard this? I've heard people, they rationalize it this way. They look at people in the church and they say, well, if I ever can make it, and if I could be like Steve Worthen, then I might think about being baptized. You're missing the whole point. Now listen, I'm going to tell you a little secret about your pastor, y'all. Steve Worthen, 2017, is not the same Steve Worthen that got in the water and got baptized. He walked in there a different man. I don't know all of his junk, but I know he... How old were you when you got baptized? 21. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, this man was a sinner. He had to be a sinner. But if I could ever get my life together, if I could just be that Steve Worthen, man, he prays. Man, when I hear him pray, I feel something. He prays for me, I feel something. When I hear him talk and when he sings, and if you're not careful, you start emulating people. And that's not Bible. You're not trying to be like Steve Worthen. You're not trying to be like Pastor Hawkins. You're not trying to be like Sister Hawkins. You're not trying to be like somebody in the church. We don't sing to be like Brother Hawkins, do we? We sing to be like Jesus. So there I blew some of the rest of you out of the water. I'm never going to be like Jesus. Well, we don't start there. You're getting in the water just to get your sins washed away. And then let's deal with that other stuff later. You'll learn how to pray. You don't learn to speak in tongues anyway. Some of you, well, if I could learn to speak in tongues. You're not going to learn that. Bible says they did it as the Spirit gave the utterance. So you've got really two things. You've got to repent, that's faithful obedience, to repent of your sins, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, faithful obedience. And all they could do is when he said, go show yourself to the priest, all they could do is say, okay, by faith, in obedience to the word of God, we're going. And as they went, that's all they could do. They couldn't cleanse their skin. They could not rid themselves of leprosy. They couldn't heal themselves, but they could obey the Lord. You can't cleanse your sins, and you can't fill yourself with the Holy Ghost, but you can obey the Lord, and you can get in the water and be baptized, and you can repent of your sins. Come on, somebody. And then if you open your heart and you worship God and praise the Lord, how many know He wants to give you the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, just like they got it on the day of Pentecost, just like they got it on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. As they went, they were cleansed. It can't be that simple. Let's read that again. See, Jesus says, go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass. As they went, they were cleansed. We've got to be missing something there. Surely they did something. But I think we're not missing anything, don't you? Jesus spoke it. They did it. And the power of God moved. And they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now I want to submit this to you, and you can take it for what it's worth, and you won't hurt my feelings if you disagree with this at all. But here's what I believe. I believe that when he fell down on his feet, his face, in verse 16, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And the Bible points out that he's a Samaritan. In other words, he's a foreigner to all of this. And of all the people, we're kind of led to believe here that maybe the rest weren't Samaritans, or at least some of them weren't. But this man was. At least this man was a Samaritan. And it kind of accentuates the fact that even a foreigner knew to come to the Messiah. I think that when he fell at Jesus' feet on his face, giving him thanks, that's the moment where more than a cleansing took place. You remember I said this disease of leprosy, it ate inward. In other words, it wasn't just a superficial thing. It didn't just get on your skin. It ate into your skin. It got into your nerves. It got into your muscles, into your tissues, into the bone. Paralyze you. It could cause you to be numb. Some of them, I would almost guarantee you, some of them were missing fingers, hands maybe. They were deformed because the leprosy had gotten on their face and disfigured their faces and drawn up the nerves and the muscles. And even at the leprosy, now stay with me here. Again, you might not agree with this, but it's just food for thought. The Bible says they were cleansed. That means the leprosy was gone. But we don't really read there where the Bible says any of them were made whole, only that all of them were cleansed. In other words, they could be cleansed and still have deformed hands. They could be cleansed and still have disfigured faces. Are you with me? Still limp the rest of their life. Still not have hands to hold things or thumbs to grasp things or arms that would straighten out and hug their children. They could go home cleansed and be back in their family and not really be able to hold their children. Because though they were cleansed, they were not whole. See, wholeness is complete. You're complete. You don't limp when you walk. You don't have muscle spasms. Your arm will reach. Your fingers will grasp. Your face will smile. Your eyes will open. Your ears are there. Your nose is there. Your lips are there. That's whole, the way you came into the world. Wouldn't it be sad, Brother Worthen, to be among those 10 and be the 9? And I don't know what happened to them. Whether they said, okay, we're cleansed, let's go on to the priest. Or they said, we're cleansed, let's go to our families and rejoice, and then we'll go to the priests. I don't know. All I know is they didn't come back to Jesus. But I think there was something in this one leper who was cleansed that said, okay, Jesus said to go to the priest, and I'll get there. But I can't go there before I go back there and thank the one who did this for me. And if he doesn't do another thing for me, if I limp the rest of my life, if I'm deformed the rest of my life, he still deserves my utmost praise for what he's already done in my life. And he went back to Jesus, and he fell on his face, and he fell at Jesus' feet. And the Bible says he gave him thanks. And it was in that act of worship where his faith met Jesus, and Jesus responded to his faith and his praise. And I'm telling you that if nobody else praises the Lord, I'm going to praise the Lord. And if nobody else is going to thank God, I'm going to be the one thanking God. And if nobody else gets on their feet, I'll be on my feet thanking the Lord. And if nobody else falls on their face, come on, is anybody with me? I want to be the one who never forgets what he did for me on Calvary. Every service, every day, I'm going to thank God. I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to shout to the Lord. I'm going to leap for joy. I'm going to dance before God. I'm going to sing the songs of Zion. Why? Because you don't know, like I know, what he's done for me. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord and magnify Jesus. Come on, would you magnify the Lord with me, musicians? Make your way, please, music. Music, come. Oh, we can do a little better than that. Come on, let's give him praise. Aren't you glad your sins have been washed away? Aren't you glad you've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Aren't you glad that all of that mess that you couldn't take care of, He handled it for you? And it was their obedient faith. Before they felt it, they responded to the Word of God. Before they saw it, they responded to the Word of God. They had to act on the Word. Now, I'll help some of you here if you'll let me for just the next second here. Next couple of seconds. Some of you in this building are confused. It's sincere confusion. It's honest confusion, but you're confused because you've heard somebody say, boy, the night that I got saved, oh, I felt, thank God that you felt something. Amen. And I believe you will feel something before it's all over with. But I'm going to tell you this right now. There's nothing in this Bible that I'm preaching from tonight that says you wait until you feel it. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in the upper room. They were there praying. They were doing what Jesus had told them to do, which is to go to Jerusalem and tarry, to wait. They're praying. And the Bible says, suddenly, sound from heaven rushed into the upper room. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They all began to speak in tongues. And here's all these people around. They're from different regions, different languages. And they hear them speaking in their own language. They're confused by it all. And some of them mocked and said, well, they're drunk. And others didn't understand. But Peter stood up and began to declare to them just exactly what was taking place. He quoted the scripture and said, look, Joel told you this was going to happen. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, your young men, your old men, your daughters, your everybody, just upon all flesh. And he says, this is that. He begins to preach to them Jesus, how that Jesus was the Messiah. He came to save them of their sins, but they had nailed him to a cross. The Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. Now that pricked in their hearts simply means that they were convicted in their heart. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter said, when you feel like it. Oh, come on. When I see some tears flowing, when you get the shake so bad you can't hardly, like we were, when you can't help but run to an altar, when you can't help, he didn't say any of that. He said, I'm glad you asked. You just asked the most important question you'll ever ask. He didn't say when you feel like it. He didn't say when you feel better. He didn't say when you feel you're worthy. He didn't say when you're crying or you're weeping or you're shaking or you're snotting or you're snorting. Or he didn't say any of that. He didn't say if you're ever in the middle of a really good revival. No. He just said, look, here's what you need to do. You repent. When? You better do it right now. And be baptized. And now listen, I'm not knocking any churches that do this, but please understand, we will never do this. Well, next month we're going to have a baptismal service and everybody wants to be baptized. Just wait until next month and we're going to baptize you. You better pray they don't die, Pastor, before your baptismal service rolls around. They want to be baptized and you putting them off. No, Peter said, be baptized. Now listen, I don't know how long it took to baptize 3,120 people. But I believe with all my heart they got her done that day. Because the Bible says that's how many were added to the church that day, first day. Peter said, repent. 3,000 of them responded and repented. And he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I don't feel cleansed. That's okay. I don't feel spiritual. That's all right. If it's in the Word, you're putting your faith in the Word of God. And as they went, Let me ask a question before I open this altar. We're going to pray for everybody in the building that needs anything from the Lord tonight. If you need salvation, we're going to pray you're going to get salvation. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, we're going to baptize you in Jesus' name. If you need healing, how many of you believe God's here to heal tonight? Amen. If you need a touch in your mind, your spirit, whatever it is, financial, whatever. I just feel like God's going to do all kinds of things here tonight. We're just going to get out of the way and let him do it, okay? But before I do that, I want to ask you a question here. How many of you, when you got baptized, well, let me ask this, how many of you have been living for the Lord more than a couple of years? You've been serving the Lord for a few years. How many of you have been serving the Lord for 10 years? Okay, that'll suffice. Of you that just raised your hand, how many of you, is the Lord still working on you? Not so high, but it's still going to go up there. Here's what I believe. First of all, if you don't have your hand up, you're lying. And secondly, if you ain't lying, I'm going to back up because you're getting ready to get raptured out of this place. The fact of the matter is, you're still here and God's still working on you. And you came to the Lord a mess, and now we're just not as much a mess. I'm honest enough to tell you that if you follow me around very long, if you think I'm perfect, first of all, you need to talk to my wife. And secondly, just follow me around long enough with your little magnifying glass, and it'll take you about 30 seconds to figure it out. I'm just a man. Brother Bunch, you're a good man, but you're just a man. Amen. Brother Chad, you're a fine young man, but you're just a man. And all of us, we're still just trying to get there. And so if you're waiting until you're perfect, you're never going to do this thing. But as you go, I did what the Lord told me to do. And as I went, he cleansed my sins. And as I went, he gave me the Holy Ghost. And I still had problems in my life and situations in my life. But Brother Gunderman, as I continue to go, I wake up every day, he does something else for me. He shows me something. He works in my life. He moves in my heart. He brings me a little closer to him. I'm closer to him than I was 10 years ago. I may not be like this, but I'm not where I was 10 years ago. Stop comparing yourself with others and just understand that the Lord takes you where you are, how you are. And that's where you start. I'd like you to come tonight if you want to repent. I want you to come on. Just come, maybe come over to this side. If you just say, Brother Hawkins, I want to repent of my sins. I need to kneel down and I want to pray before the Lord. We're going to reserve this section right here for you. This is all yours. You come at any time that you want to come. If you need a healing in your body or you just want somebody to pray, ministers, Brother Worthen, Brother Gunderman, I need the ministry to come. Be ready. Grab the oil. Let's begin to lay hands on people. If you need a healing in your body, if you need the Lord to intervene in a situation, whatever you need tonight, I want these men are going to make themselves available to you. They're going to pray for you. They're going to lay hands on you. Brother Gunderman, come on. Brother Bunch, come help us. Some of you that just believe God might use you tonight, that's okay. Come and let the Lord use you tonight. But if you have a need tonight, you want prayer, we want you to come. Stand before one of these men. If you want to tell them what you're having prayer for, church, could we just begin to praise the Lord in this place? Let's create an atmosphere for the Lord to move. Lord, we love you, Jesus. I need the praise singers. I need you up here. Singers, come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, how many believe God's going to do something here tonight? God is going to move. Bodies are going to be healed. Minds are going to be healed. And when that man began to praise the Lord, Jesus said, your faith hath made thee whole. And if he had missing fingers, they reappeared. And if his hand was withered, it was straightened out. And if he had a disfigurement in his face, it was made whole. I believe God is going to make some people whole here tonight. He's going to touch your body. He's going to touch your mind. He's going to touch your heart. He's going to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Come on, if you want the Holy Ghost tonight, just reach up your hands to heaven. Begin to worship God wherever you are. Begin to praise Him. Maybe somebody needs a fresh touch. You'd like the Lord to bless you tonight. You need a touch from heaven. Just begin to praise Him. That's all. Just begin to praise Him. And as you praise Him, as you worship, something's going to happen to you tonight. Something's going to happen to you tonight. I speak faith into this place. I speak deliverance tonight. I speak healing tonight. I speak faith into this room. Come on, somebody, believe God. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Some of you young people, come on, lay hands on Mason. Begin to pray for him. Some of you young people, begin to pray for Mason here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, have your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Yes, yes. I said, he's great.
He's great.
Yes, he is.
He's
oh, he's a great
he's
God
great.
Tonight, able to do all things.
Oh,
hallelujah. Oh, and he is my deliverer.
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 Oh, awesome. Hallelujah. And my provider.
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 Awesome.
Hallelujah. He is awesome. He's my protector. My protector.
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 He's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. Yes,
he's awesome.
He's awesome. Oh, awesome. Yes, awesome. Now he's great.
He's great.
He's great.
He's
a great God. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
Hallelujah.
Oh, awesome.
My God is awesome.
Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation, by his stripes I am healed. My God is awesome, today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living, praise his holy name.
He's mighty. How many know you're serving a mighty God? A mighty God tonight.
Oh,
somebody say he's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Oh, he is great.
He's great.
He's an awesome God.